Good evening, brothers. It's good to see you all. And I'm really excited here about tonight and the lesson that we're gonna have. But I thought I would I'd like to share a little video clip with you to get tonight started. We've been talking about breakthroughs for the last few weeks. And we talked about behold the Savior. And I hope that your view of God, your view of Jesus has been enhanced. But I pray that as we are hearing the word, that it's not just kind of falling in our ears and it's not affecting us in a way that the word should affect us, whether we're thinking differently or we're acting differently or we're believing differently. But it's always cool when we can be inspired and we can see something that makes us believe. And one of the things that was cool during our sabbaticals, we got to do go to this thing called the NFL Experience. And in the facility, they had a field goal, actually a field goal, and you could get in and take an opportunity to kick a field goal on an NFL field goal. And so I want to share here my screen as I lined it up. Ooh, got the lineup.
Yes, sir. Excellent.
Yes, it was Oh, that was fun. It was fun doing it. I was really nervous. But it was great to experience that though, kicking on a real goalpost, crowd of people around you. And again, that was a lot of fun. But guys, as I was saying, we've been talking about breakthroughs and tonight or today, this month is Women's History Month. And so we're not going to talk a little about women's history, so to speak. We're going to continue that. But I wanted to just divert a little bit and look at a really powerful man of God. And I want to give you three steps that you can take.
Oh, no wonder's cold out here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You're almost burning down the place,
Somebody put yourself on mute. I don't know. You got that, Rob? Okay. But I want to give us three steps today to let me unmute myself. There we go. The funny thing is this: if we follow certain steps, just like, we're given steps with how to put a desk together or a shelf together. You follow certain steps, it's gonna get you where you need to go. And so, again, I'm not sure where you are in terms of just you and God. I'm not sure of where you're at just in your faith or in your marriage. But I want to encourage us, and if we're not married, just in our personal lives, I want to again give you something that you can practically take and apply your life situation to it. Or it could be something with our finances. It could be something with our kids. But I want to ask you to turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 4. And we'll start here in verse 18. And it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. You know, even the father of faith, Abraham, a person who's well known in the Bible, reached a point where he needed a breakthrough. He needed to overcome this obstacle of years of pain, years of watching his wife be barren. And he faced this painful fact of his situation, but he did it by focusing on God's power instead of his own power. And as you know, God made this promise to him when he was 75 years old. And so for 25 years, he waited. And he had to deal with the reality. Wow, she's not getting pregnant. Wow, this is not, you know, 80, 85, 90, 95, 99. No baby. What's going on? And brothers, it's interesting because I know we all have challenges, obstacles that we need to face in our lives. And we need to imitate what Abraham did. He faced the fact that this is what the situation is, and this is what's going on. But the question is, do we believe that God has the power to do what he's promised? That's the difference. Abraham had the faith to believe that God could do what he promised. And so step one is we have to build our faith so that we can face the facts. Sometimes facing the facts can lead us into a downward spiral, to lead us into fear or faithlessness. You know, without this type of faith in God's power, it's going to be difficult to face the facts of our situation or even see the need for a breakthrough. Because if you're not admitting the truth, then you're not really facing the facts. You're in denial or believing, now that can never change. That situation is hopeless. That I don't even pray about that anymore. And see, when I don't have faith in God's power, or I don't believe that God is going to help me, I tend to just do something else. And I tell you, it's faithless is what it is. Because I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at the facts, and no, this person is not open, or this person, you know, is stubborn and they're going to just keep believing and doing what they're doing, or whatever the case might be. But when I don't have faith in God's power or desire to help me, again, I can go in denial, or I can avoid it. And the reality is, man, I'm discouraged. And you know, if you get to a point where you're just discouraged because you don't believe that God has the power to do anything, then that's what's going to happen. You know, truth is, everybody has obstacles to overcome. Everybody has obstacles. And when we have faith in God's power, we can freely admit, hey, I got a problem in this area in my life. Or I've tried to change this and it hasn't worked. Or, you know, I've gotten just so easily discouraged that, man, I've stopped believing that this is possible. And sometimes that's exactly where we got to get to, is I got to admit what I'm really, really thinking if I'm really going to have the kind of breakthrough like Abraham did. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul said this, and this is the ERV version. I don't mean that I am exactly what God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and make it mine. That's what Christ Jesus wants me to do. It is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, I know that I still have a long way to go, but there is one thing I do. I forget what is in the past and try as hard as I can to reach the goal before me. Listen, there is no shame in admitting we aren't where we want to be. You know, faith in God's power, though, helps us face the facts about our challenges, because we believe God will give us the strength to overcome, that God has the power to do what he promises. And being honest about our challenges and being honest about our faithlessness. You know, the father who brought his son to Jesus's disciples, and he says, well, do you believe? He says, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. That's it. Okay. Now we can work with something, but we got to be honest and not afraid to put the truth out there. Because when we don't, we ultimately rely on ourselves instead of his power. And as you know, his power is a lot stronger than our power. But I want to ask you a question, brothers. What are some areas in which you are not exactly what God wants you to be? You know, you could think about that. You know, I know one of the areas in my life that I am really working on is being a better listener, especially with my wife, and being specifically encouraging to her, telling her that I love her, telling her what I appreciate about her, because I need to be that for her, as, you know, love your wife like Christ loved the church. But more importantly, she needs to hear that. She needs to hear that from me. Again, married brothers, you know, you may have something in your dynamic that you need to specifically do to meet your wife's needs. Or, you know, if you're not married, hey, what is that? What is there an area? But this is another question to consider. Do you see any examples of settling into denial in your life? Is there any area where you've just said, well, that's just how I am, and that's it? Well, man, no, we can't settle for denial. We have to continue to remember God has the power to do what he's promised. We believe that, and then we act on that. Sin no longer has power over us. Doubt no longer has power over us. Fear no longer has power over us. We have God's spirit living within us. But like Abraham, we got to face the facts. We got to continue to build our faith to believe, well, this is what God says, therefore, is possible. All right, second step. Open your heart to God. Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26. He says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. You know, guys, I remember after I became a Christian, there were some things that I'd done that I thought, God will never forgive me for that. Can you relate? You ever struggle with thinking that? And then you study the Bible and you realize, oh my gosh, there is forgiveness. And then as you're walking and following in Jesus's footsteps, like your desires started changing. You go to the movies and now, you know, some, you know, nudity comes on the screen and you're turning your head because you don't want to look at that anymore. Or you're hearing stuff that's inappropriate. And it's like you're turning the channel because you don't want to engage that. You don't want that in your mind because you've been freed. You remember that, guys? See, God opened our hearts. And I went from not believing that he'd forgiven me or not believing that I could ever change. But he did it. You know, and sometimes it's a progressive thing. But man, I tell you, my world was all about basketball and the girlfriend. And if I wasn't with her, I was working on my game and, you know, doing whatever I needed to do. But it wasn't. It was just all about me. I'm so grateful. I was telling, you know, a brother yesterday how God's timing is so perfect. I shared this before, but I see the significance. My world was shattered when I seen my grandparents get a divorce. You don't get a divorce after 40 years of marriage and 9 kids. What? That's not supposed to happen. And I was literally hopeless, believing, no, marriage doesn't work. And so, again, here comes this young whippersnapper in the cafeteria, and he was bold enough, and he was a fisher of men, and he gave me an invitation. And that invitation turned into a Bible study. And then that Bible study turned into another Bible study. And then that Bible study turned into another Bible study. And then we hung out over here. And then we went over there. And then that turned into another Bible study. And then here comes Mario Depend. And then Leo Safle. And then all these guys. And I'm like, whoa, what in the world is going on? Well, God had opened up my heart. And now he was pouring in the things and the people that I was going to need to help me in my journey. And you know, brothers, with the help of the scriptures and spiritual friends, I started to tell God the truth. I started to tell him how worthless I felt and what I was ashamed of. I remember going back to my old job where the bagel smith and telling them how I stole things and ready to pay back money for what I had done. And I just got lighter because this, you know, and I was forgiven, but it just made me feel good knowing I was doing the right thing. And, you know, as you open your heart to God, God shows you something special. You're not the same guy you used to be. And yeah, you may have character challenges and whatnot, but you are a new creation. God showed me his acceptance. God showed me his forgiveness by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And see, as long as we stay in God's word, He will help us learn how to build relationships that we can be totally honest and totally vulnerable and totally open and not fall into this, you know, self-pity kind of thing. But instead, we can find a freedom that we never thought existed. You know, this invitation to freedom is available to us every single day. And whether you're on the screen and you're hearing about it for the first time, or you've been a Christian for decades, all we have to do is make a decision to open our hearts to God. Because he's not into performance. He wants a relationship. And as we open our hearts to him, our eyes will be open and we'll be able to see the direction and the path that he wants to take us down so that we can be our very, very best for him. Third step, trust God enough to open your heart to other people. Psalm 62, verse 8, this is the voice version. Have faith in him in all circumstances, dear people. Open up your heart to him. The true God shelters us in his arms. You know, there's another scripture, Psalms 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You know, it's funny. I remember one of the things that, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of you guys know Sari was my girlfriend and became a disciple afterwards. And we had broken up. And I remember for the first time going on a date with a woman other than her between the ages of 15 and 23. And I was very nervous. But I share that to say one of the things that drew me back to her was that she was going to always tell me the truth. I didn't like it, but she was going to tell me the truth. And I appreciate that about our relationship. See, we need friends to sharpen our vision, to help us see truths about ourselves more clearly. And it's much easier to let people do this when we trust God to shelter us through this process. You know, when you're not like really open, it's because you're insecure and you think, oh, I'm by myself. Nobody's going to know. No. When we trust God and we trust or have trustworthy friends, we don't, again, live by that fear. And here's the funny thing. You and I can't control or predict how people will react when we open up our hearts. But what we can do is we can trust God. We can know that I'm pleasing him by being vulnerable or being open. But I love this passage because he's bigger, he's more powerful than anybody. So that even if a person treats us wrong, we can still have a source of love, protection, and security that will never change. We can also trust that God's way of building relationships through honesty will lead to closer and more fulfilling relationships than we would experience by keeping our hearts closed. So I need to ask you, what parts of your heart are difficult to open up about? You know, or another question is this: how do you try to make your outsides look good so that you don't have to face the difficult truths inside? Are you open? Are you real? Do you welcome those relationships that can help you. Now, I'll never forget, after I'd gotten baptized, I remember Ted Gill was in my life at that time. And I had fallen into sin about 2 weeks after I got baptized. And I remember, you know, being guilty. And I think it happened on Friday. And then we talked on Sunday. And I'm sorry, we talked on Tuesday, because I was just like, I didn't know what to do. But the guilt was killing me. So Tuesday come, and, you know, Ted and I got together. And I just remember the way he handled me. It just was so gentle. It was loving. But he talked to me. And we looked at, you know, scripture. He's like, well, what can you have done differently? And it just was so different, because my whole mentality was, well, you know, if you mess up, then you deserve to be punished. You deserve to be, you know, whatever comes your way. That was the mentality that I had. And it was so completely different than how I was used to being treated. And but I'll never forget that. And I take that with me, because somebody opens up about their life, man, that is, it's brave. But more importantly, it is vital for our maturity in Christ. But again, brothers, how do you try to make your outsides look good so that you don't have to face difficult truths inside? Whatever that might be, we got to really think about that and decide, okay, I gotta deal with this part so that I am allowing and or trusting God to open my heart to other men, spiritual men in my life, so that I can get where I need to be and have that breakthrough and have that growth. Now, step four is repeat. What are you talking about, bro? Repeat. Psalms 18, verse 20. Says, God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. Every day I review the ways he works. I try not to miss a trick. I feel put back together and I am watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. Man, what an amazing scripture, guys. You know, I think this psalmist, as he wrote this passage, it says, every day I reviewed the ways he worked. You know, every day I need to be reminded of God's love for me. What about you? Are there things that you need to be reminded every day regarding your relationship with God? I'm forgiven every day, completely, every day. I have the Holy Spirit every day. Jesus is alive. He's with me every day. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus every day. See, if we forget these things, then it affects our relationship with God and those around us. But knowing that I can be completely open and honest with God and with others is so comforting. But the bigger issue is remembering that it's his power that began something in me that's got me where I'm at today. And see, I want to encourage us, is these, you know, steps that we talked about, okay, building your faith so you can face the facts, then opening your heart to God, and then opening or trusting God enough to open your hearts to others. If we continue in that cycle, and you can take whatever area that might be in your life and then do it again, do it with your finances, do it with your relationships, do it with, you know, some aspect of maybe I'm having doubts here or whatnot. But this psalmist says, every day. I think the same is true for us. God wants to know all the pieces of our hearts. And as we open up to him, he can give us a fresh start each and every day. So brothers, I want to encourage you, man, work on your faith every day. Don't read your Bible because you have to, because somebody's going to ask you. No, get in your word to build your faith, because the faith is what gets us going and doing the things that God wants us to do and what he wants us to become. You know, I want to close with this scripture. Ephesians 3, verse 20 through 21, it's the Message version. God can do anything. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Sorry, my daughter's calling. He does it. Sorry, Blair Amanda. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Brothers, let's allow God to do what he wants to do. And I'm going to close this out in a prayer. But I really encourage you to, you know, take some time tonight, you know, talk with, you know, brother, maybe you're having a group Bible talk, what do you call it? Viewing party, whatever. Let's have some real conversation and talk, but let's take what we hear from God's word and really identify where am I at here? What areas do I need to, I need prayers about this, or maybe I need to be open about something. I don't know, but don't let it get snatched away like that seed that falls on the path. Take it to heart and let's be men who, like Abraham, face the facts, but because he believed in God's power, he experienced not only a blessing, but he watched, well, he didn't really watch it because it came true years later, but he became the father of faith because he believed God could do what he promised. So let's pray together and then we'll be dismissed. Father God in heaven,